Amen. Please take a seat. We've reshaped things a little bit this morning. We're going to take a little bit longer towards the end of our service today to spend time in worship and a bit of an extended time afterwards to be able to just seek more of God and to praise and celebrate Him. Not everything Jesus said was easy. And we're in a short series at the moment called the Hard Sayings of Jesus. And it's really based from John 6, verse 60, where Jesus had spoken of eating the bread and the wine, his body and blood. And the disciple John says to him, "Lord, this is a hard teaching." And we're told that many people stopped following Jesus because they couldn't cope with what he was saying. And there are many things that Jesus said that aren't easy for us to grasp or grapple with. There are things that aren't always easy for us to live out that Jesus said. And that's the heart of our series, is to explore some of those things. And we're going to jump straight in today. If you've got a Bible with you, we're in Matthew chapter 22 today. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. And our hard saying of Jesus for this week is this: "For many are invited, but few are chosen." For many are invited, but few are chosen. And this is the third of three parables that Jesus has spoken. And he's been speaking to an audience of the chief priests and the Pharisees, those who were really fervent on the Jewish law, and they were not accepting of who Jesus was. And what Jesus is saying through these parables is, Israel, you were God's chosen people. But for hundreds of years, you've turned away from God. You've worshipped things that are not God, whether it's golden calves, whether it's other gods, you've turned away. And God sent prophets to warn them. And sometimes they listened, but more often than not, they didn't. And God raised up kings who would lead them in the way of him. And as soon as that king died, another king would come in and the people would go away from God once more. And so eventually God sends his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And the very people whom he came to save didn't recognize who he was. And so Jesus tells three parables, stories, to explain this to the chief priests and the Pharisees. And at this point, when Jesus says these words, they've realized that he's speaking about them. Matthew 21, verse 45 says this: "When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them." So to help us understand this verse, we're going to read the whole of the parable that this comes at the end of. So this is Matthew chapter 22, reading from verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Jesus was really challenging the Jewish leaders here, that they just hadn't recognized who God was. He's speaking directly to them, and there are many links through that parable, that analogy, that story Jesus told to what had happened to the people of Israel and how they'd gone against God. And we can sometimes read these parables, you know, the parables and the things that Jesus said that were aimed at the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day. We can sometimes read them with a little bit of smugness, can't we? We can sometimes read them and be like, well, that's not for me. In fact, I'm part of the new invited people, so I don't need to take warning from this. I'm okay. We are part of the invited. This parable was against them, and they were bad, and we are good. But that's not right, is it? And you know, one of the reasons I like to read so much scripture when I speak is because I want us to be people who engage with the living word of God. This is a living book, the living, breathing word of God. And the more we read scripture, the more we realize that Jesus speaks to us today through this. That we see that Jesus isn't just speaking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, but Jesus is speaking to us through this today as well. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. If you're taking notes today, this is the first point today. We've all been invited, ... but we have refused to come. We have all been invited, but we have refused to come. A wedding celebration in Jesus' day wasn't like our one-day thing here. It would last for many days, maybe even a week. And particularly if a king was throwing the wedding, it would go on for many days. And different guests would come to different parts of the celebration. But the pinnacle of the wedding in those days was the wedding banquet. To get an invite to the wedding banquet was to show that you were one of the most esteemed and well highly thought of people. There'll be many people who would be on the fringe, but if you received an invite to the banquet, you were thought of incredibly highly. And to get an invite from the king of all people to the banquet of a wedding was an incredibly privileged place to be. And the reality is, each and every one of us have an invitation to a banquet. A banquet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Each and every one of us has an invite to an intimate relationship and banquet with the God who spoke this universe into being. Through Jesus Christ, we have an invite into the most intimate place with God the Father. But so many of us settle for being an evening guest. We've received an invite to the whole wedding, but we remain an evening guest. You know, we can read this and think, these people, how could they refuse to go? The king sends them an invitation to the banquet, and they get there, and the servants say, you are invited to the most intimate celebration and banquet. And they say, I'm washing my hair today. I would come, but I've got things I need to do first. I would come, but I've double booked. I'm sorry, awkward. How many of us do that in our relationship with Jesus? How many of us have an invite to the most intimate celebration and banquet, but we settle for being an evening guest? We're happy to be on the fringe of things. You know, we sit down to read the Bible, and we open and we read the first verse, and then we hear this noise, bing! Oh, isn't that a great picture? I better reply to that. I'll forward that on to that person. Well, I've got to text that person as well. And all of a sudden, we've forgotten that we're at a banquet with the king. Or how many of us, we sit down to pray. And we go, I'm going to pray, I'm going to listen. Maybe we open our hands to say we'll receive. I'm going to listen to the Lord. Tomatoes. I need to put tomatoes on the shopping list. And I've got to drop that off at the dry cleaners, and the kids need picking up on Thursday from... Or how many of us, we go to pray, but it's been a busy day, so we go to bed thinking we will pray, and our head hits the pillow, and we say, Our Father who art. Or we say, I'm going to read more Bible, but I just want to watch the episode on Netflix first. And how many of us, we settle for being an evening guest on the fringe of things rather than making Jesus the center of everything we do in this life. And in effect, we reject the invitation to be at the banquet. Don't get complacent in your walk with the Lord. There are so many things in this life that would seek to distract us from having an intimate relationship with Christ. And the reality is, when we prioritize other stuff over our time with Him, we're like those people who refuse the invite. Maybe there's some practical things we can do to help us. Maybe we read the Bible and we leave our phone in a different room. Maybe we decide that before we do any Netflix, we'll read the Bible first. Maybe we find a time in our day when we can pray that isn't when we go to bed. We write our shopping lists before we pray. Maybe there's some practical things we can do that says, Lord, I choose to put you first and me and the other stuff second. There are a lot of people in this world who know about God. And in fact, those religious leaders, they knew a lot about God. The Pharisees, they were effectively the lawyers and the scholars of the Jewish law. They knew a lot about Scripture, but they didn't know Scripture. They knew a lot about God, but they didn't know God. And in fact, maybe you're here today and you know a lot about God, but you don't know God. Maybe you've got a lot of head knowledge about God, but you haven't got heart knowledge about God. You've received the invitation, but you've not really RSVP'd. Many are invited, but few are chosen. Second thing, if you're writing things down, it is possible to get an invite, but never know the host. It is possible to get an invite, but never know the host. Congratulations, Frank and Lynn. Fantastic, fantastic news to celebrate with you today. Becky and I have been married for 10 years this year, and we got engaged in the April, May, and we got married in the November. So this time, 10 years ago, we were in the throes of wedding planning, as you guys will be very soon. And one of the things that is really challenging when you're engaged is writing your list, not the presents list, the presents, as in the people you want to be present at your wedding list. And there are some people who they are automatically on the list, aren't there? There are people who will be there all day. They're automatically on your list. They're your close friends, your close family. You know they're going to be there. And then there are some people who are evening guests. But then there are some people who you think, well, that's an all-day guest. But if they're an all-day guest, they can't only be an evening guest. So they have to be an all-day guest too, which means someone else can't be an all-day guest because they now need to be an evening guest. And then you have the awkward thing of the plus ones. So we want to invite that person to be with us for the whole day. We love and we know that person, but we don't know their partner, so we have to invite them anyway. Or the people who we want to invite that person, but they don't know anyone else, so we have to invite a plus one. We don't know their name, they are plus one. And the plus ones are the awkward ones, aren't they? Not awkward in people, but awkward because you have a set number of places, but you know you can only have a certain people, but you need that person to come along to it as well. It's entirely possible to receive an invite, to reply, to go and hang out at the party, to share in a meal, to have a great time, but never really know the host. It's even possible to be part of organizing things, to have a role, to have a title and a part to play. It's possible to give a gift to the host, but never really know the host. I've been a plus one as an attendee. Maybe some of you have as well. And it's a strange place being a plus one at a wedding, isn't it? It's a wedding where you don't particularly know the people getting married and you're there as the plus one. Because you know that at some point in the evening, your husband or wife or whoever you're with, they're going to want to talk to their friends who are also there. And that means you're going to be left with the other plus ones in the plus one corner at the plus one table, not dancing, but making awkward conversation. And we've all been there at some point, haven't we? We've been the plus one. And I can think particularly Becky's uni friends. We all went to the old days of their weddings. And that started off as plus ones. And as we got to know one another more, we became kind of proper invitees. But the thing with the plus one thing, which is funny, was we got to know each other really well. This group of five or six of us as guys, we got to know each other fairly well. And I think of a friend of mine called Dave, who we were plus ones at lots of weddings together, and we got to know each other really well. But we never, ever saw each other, aside from being a plus one at a wedding. What if we changed the word wedding and changed it to say church? It is entirely possible to get a personal invite, to reply, to hang out with, to share in a meal, to have a great time with others, but never really know the host. It's entirely possible for us to be part of organizing things, to have a role, to have a title, to give regular gifts to the host, even to ask the host for things at times, but never really know the host. And it is entirely possible for us to just hang out with the other invitees at the wedding and never speak anything more through the week. Do you really know him? Do you really know the Lord? Do you have a living relationship with the Lord? On a Monday, are you happy to speak about the Lord as much as you're happy to speak about the Lord on a Sunday? Do you know him? Do you really know him? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" I think they're really scary words. They're words that say you can come to the wedding. You can come to church. You can be part of church all your life. You can do things in the name of the church, in the name of the Lord, through the life of the church, but you never really know him because you have a plus one mentality. We come on Sunday, we do our thing, we do things through the week, but we never really accepted the invitation. The reality is the invitation of Jesus is so easy to accept. His invitation is for all. We can all come into the presence of God, and all we need to do is ask him. But being a disciple is hard work. It's more than just attending church. It's more than just giving money. It's more than just reading the Bible. It's more than just knowing things about God. It's really knowing him and shaping our life based around him. Many are invited, but few are chosen. Third thing this morning, the not chosen are chosen. The not chosen are chosen. From verse 8, Jesus says in the parable, "Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests." Have you ever been somewhere that most people don't get to go? Maybe with your work, you have a particular place that you work and you see the behind the scenes that other people don't get to see. Or maybe you've had the privilege of having a VIP pass at something before and you see the behind the scenes. A number of years ago, Becky and I were at Momentum, which was the grown-up version of Soul Survivor, and we were having breakfast one morning, and we just got chatting to this guy over breakfast, and it was, you know, when you have a God encounter moment where God just brings the right person at the right time, and there were many things in this conversation with this guy, and I kept in touch with this guy. Becky and I both kept in touch with this guy we met for a number of years, and it turns out he's the president of an international Christian organization. And I'd been down to see him in his offices in Oxford, and we Skyped many times. And whenever we were going to a Christian event where he was there, he would get in touch and say, hey guys, if you're there, I'd love to grab a cup of coffee with you. And a couple of years later, we were at Momentum again, and we had Hannah with us. She'd just been born. And our friend got in touch and said, hey, I'm doing some seminars and I'm speaking at the front at this conference. It'd be great to have coffee. Come and meet me on whatever day it was, Wednesday, let's say. The seminar's at 2:30. Come at the end and we'll go for coffee afterwards. So we got to the tent at the end of the seminar. It was pouring with rain. It's a muddy camping field. And we meet with him and he says, let's go and get a cup of coffee. And so we walk to all the different cafes and we walk right through the middle of them. But it's okay, there's some burger vans. So we're thinking we're going to the burger vans. And we get to the burger vans and we walk right past the burger vans. And we get to a set of steps and our friend says, just come up here with me. So he goes up the top of the steps and we have the pram. So we're kind of struggling to the top of the steps with this pram. And we get to the top of the steps and there's two stewards there who are like, where's your pass? And we're like, we have no pass. And our friend Eddie turns around and says, they're with me. And in you come. Have you ever had a moment like that where you're with someone and they say, they're with me? This moment in this parable that Jesus is speaking, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law knew exactly what Jesus was saying because they, as the people of Israel, knew that they were God's chosen people. And the Gentiles, those not of Jewish descent, they were people who would not be effectively invited. But when Jesus says this, Jesus is saying, all these people that feel cast aside, all these people that feel not welcome, all these people who feel not good enough, they're with me. And you know, one day we will stand before our Father in heaven at the end of this life and the start of the next. And the Lord will want an account for everything we have done in this life, the good and the bad. But for those of us who have a true and real relationship with Jesus, in that moment, he will say to his Father, they're with me. They're with me. The invite is for us to have an eternal heavenly banquet with Jesus. You know, these second group of people, these second guests, they know they don't need asking twice, do they? They drop what they have and they go to the banquet and they enjoy the banquet. They've been chosen. They were people who had never been chosen before. And maybe today you don't feel good enough to be a Christian. Maybe today you feel that your life doesn't match up, or you feel that you're not someone who is liked, or you feel like you're someone who people think negatively of and your esteem is low. If that's you today, the gospel welcome of Jesus Christ is for you. He invites you. He says, you are mine. You are chosen. The disciples who were there, they would have known exactly what was going on here. Because for young Jewish men, they would have grown up learning the Old Testament Torah, the first five books of the Bible. They'd know it off by heart. By the age of 10, they would be choosing a rabbi to follow. They would choose a teacher who would teach them the ways of God. But for many, they would be told, you've not made the cut. All of Jesus' disciples, they were fishermen, tax collectors, they had regular jobs. That tells us that they were once told, you're not going to make it. You're not good enough. But Jesus says to them, come, follow me. Students would choose their teacher, not the teacher choose the students. They knew what it was to be chosen. And today God chooses you. He invites you and he chooses you into his kingdom. And this is a picture of the kingdom of God for us. And we've just been in our Galatians series and we read into Galatians 3:28, where Paul writes, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are welcomed in. No longer is it about an elite few, but the welcome of Jesus extends to every single one of us. You are invited and you are welcome. And the two parables beforehand, they speak the same things. The son who went into the vineyard, the tenants who were in that vineyard, now the scruffs who are on the street corner are invited in to the wedding. If you feel not good enough, Jesus personally has invited you to his kingdom. For many are invited, but few are chosen.
And finally, from verse 11, it says, "But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless." So I told you about our friend that we met at Momentum, and we were sat there in this place where we'd been invited in on the basis of his invite. And it turned out we were in the speaker's lounge. So we were there with all the kind of the main stage conference speakers, and we were there with the worship leaders for the week. There was one of the worship leaders from a band called Ren Collective was having a shoulder massage from one of the other worship leaders of the week. And everyone in there was like pristine, because they're all staying in B&Bs or they're all staying in caravans, and we were staying in a tent in a muddy field. And they were all there in their skinny jeans and their checked shirts, and their hair was perfect. And we were there with muddy wellies and jeans that were stained, and we were soaked through, and our cagoules had leaked. And do you know, if you looked around that room, it was so obvious that we never should have been there. And that's what's amazing about this story, is that the king has sent the servants out to the people who were sat on the street corners and said, "Come to the wedding. All of you who are sat there doing nothing, come to the wedding." Now, my guess is they weren't sat there in a tuxedo waiting for a wedding invite. They were probably people without work. They were probably traders who were trying to sell things. They were probably slaves who were waiting to find a new master. So how audacious is this king to say, "You've been invited in off the street, but you're too scruffy to stay"? We need to remember that the wedding celebration would have been over a number of days. But also the wedding dress of the day in Jesus' time, it wasn't a three-piece suit or a posh dress. It was just plain white linen clothes, the kind of inexpensive clothing that anyone would have access to. And they would have had a number of days to potentially go home and get changed. And the expectation is that they would go and change into their white clothes and turn up to the wedding. But this man decided to go in his dirty and stained pre-invitation clothes. And when Jesus speaks of this man, what he speaks of is the person who says, "I've accepted the invite. I'm a belonger to the church. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And grace abounds and forgiveness is aplenty. Therefore, I will do whatever I like with my life, because God will forgive me anyway." Romans 6 verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace might increase? By no means." Yes, we are forgiven. Yes, the grace of God extends to all, but we are called to live a life that is in pursuit of the holiness of God, not because we have to, but because we choose to. We are called to, in effect, put on our white wedding clothes in preparation for the wedding. We are called to not live a life where we feel we can do whatever we want, but we live a life where we choose to honor God, to put him as Lord of all in every aspect of our life. And white clothes were significant. Mark 16, verse 5, Jesus is risen from the grave, and what color are his clothes? White. Revelation, chapters 3 and 4, Jesus speaks to the churches of being clothed in white, because it was a sign of purity. Even though the man was part of the new invitees, he made no effort to make sure his life was right. Many are invited, but few are chosen. We receive an invite from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But when we accept that invite, we need to get ourselves ready for the wedding. For many are invited, but few are chosen. We've all received an invite, but some of us have refused. Don't settle for being an evening guest when your invite is for the whole day. Don't put Jesus on the fringe of your life when he wants to be the center of your life. It's possible to get an invite but never really know the host. If you know a lot about God, I want to challenge you to ask God to show himself more to you. Invite him into your life in all his fullness. And the not chosen become the chosen. The invite is for all of us. But we are called to be those who are clothed in white. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus says to the church at Laodicea, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness. We may feel like a mess. We may feel like we're not worthy or not good enough. But today, Jesus says, come. The invite is here. If we choose to accept the invite, we are called to prepare ourselves for the wedding that is to come. The miraculous thing is, for many of us, there's no way we could ever get ourselves ready. But in the parable of the prodigal son, we see an image where the father comes to the son and he gives him a robe to cover up the sin and the shame and the mess. He gives him a ring on his finger as a sign of authority. And he gives him sandals to wear on his feet, because a slave would be barefoot, but a son would have sandals. Today, Jesus comes and he puts on you a new white robe. He says, you're invited. Come to me and I will clothe you in white, that you may be with me in that heavenly banquet for eternity. Why don't we stand together?